Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, please. There are many ways to talk about the resurrection. What I want to do this morning is something very simple. Since I don't know everybody in this room, and I don't know the condition of every single person, I'm going to start in a different place. We're going to start where we probably, some of us, live, with confusion. What does this mean? What is this? What happened? I had some nice adventures for 10 days in Peru. And I had a few not nice adventures. Robert, do me a favor, the door. I had some nice not adventures, and we'll talk about those too. And the last one of them, Pastor Kwok has no idea how close he came to getting a call Friday night at midnight, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's stand, please. Luke 24, verse 13. I have not stated this, by the way, but we do not have services on Easter Sunday night, Mother's Day Sunday night, several weeks. So if you're planning on being here tonight, that's fine, but you can run the church service yourself. We trust you're with your family and doing some good things today. Verse 13. The resurrection has occurred. Some ladies have seen an empty tomb. And at this point in time, verse 13, it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called, forgive me all Zionites. Zionites pronounce this word in a weird way. Emmaus. I cannot do that without violating life. So Emmaus. So if you're a Zionite, and trust me, you'll be corrected by Zionites. They'll say, no, it's Emmaus. Anyhow, it was a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which is Old English, several miles, 7 miles or so. And it says, they talked together, and they talked together of all these things which had, and you notice the English word, happened. Why is that important? We'll get to it. And it came to pass that while they communed or conversed together and reasoned, they were thinking through this, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, meaning in some ways they just weren't able to put one and one together, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? So at this point, folks, these two disciples were clueless. They were confused. One of the things we do in Baptist circles is we always rush past life to get to confidence. We're much better to deal with life and get to confidence. I'm going to do that today. I'm not in the hurry that, you know, let's get to the victory. And then I see people's real lives fall apart. So let's work through that with the two disciples. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, I don't know how to say it, answering said unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, we hoped, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea or yes? And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, I'm just going to spend 1 second saying something. This is not the word moron in Greek. It's not calling them stupid. They just didn't get it. It's that kind of fool. You just don't get it. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, you know, the first five books, the Torah, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat or reclined to eat some food, he took bread. By the way, I want to ask you a question. Could you conceal yourself? Look at me. Everybody has habits. Forgive me. You know my habits. I realize when you speak in front of people week after week, everybody has irritating habits. You can hide your face, you can grow a beard, but your habits don't go away. They just come out. Filipinos. Everybody has them. I'm still thinking Robert. Robert? Walang. You know, it's just everybody has habits. Friends, when Jesus broke bread and gave thanks, I think it was the thanks. Let's read this. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave unto them, and their eyes were what? Ooh, we know who that is. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in what? Breaking that bread. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." At the end of this service, Rhoda has recommended something. Rhoda, if she's still here or if she's not here, we're going to do it. In Romania, they say something on Easter. "The Lord is risen." And you reply, "The Lord is risen indeed." I like that. I also like something else they do in Romania. Pace. Peace. And that's what you say to each other. You know, basically the peace of the Lord. It comes right from these texts. So Rhoda, I'm listening. Verse 37. But they were suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy, they're so overwhelmed, you're in this weird place. You believe, but you're excited, and you know. And it says, and they wondered. He said unto them, "Have you any meat or any food?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled." And this is the modern divisions of the Hebrew Bible, which were written in the Law of Moses, the Torah, and in the prophets, the Nevi'im, and in the Psalms, which is the first book of the Ketuvim, the writings. Same Old Testament, divided a little differently. He says, this must happen. It's written throughout the whole Bible. In verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." We're going to talk about some of this text. We're going to jump around a little bit. I'm going to talk about being on the road to Emmaus. Let us pray, please. Father, I ask that you would help me to share very simple ideas. I think I'm a pretty simple person. And it's sad when Christians miss the heart of it all. Help us this morning to grasp very simple ideas. May I be able to convey these For those in this room that are not yet saved, that have not yet come to Christ in faith and repentance, maybe don't even understand these ideas, may this be the day, or at least the beginning of the journey to that day, because there is nothing greater than the great salvation we have in Christ. Bless our time now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preface the sermon this morning by talking about three simple questions, or is that the right? Maybe even fears. Has it ever dawned on you? Here's my three questions. That you could possibly be wrong? Look me in the eyes. Has it ever dawned on you? I just came from a country, Peru. If you go up in the mountains in Cusco, the vast majority of people still worship what the Inca people did 500-600 years ago. They worship Mother Earth, they worship the sun, and they mix a little Catholicism with it. So it's, for you Filipinos, it's halo halo. Just mix it together. I want to ask you a question. Has it ever dawned on you you could be wrong? Let me ask you a second question, Christians. This is for you too. More for Christians. Has it ever dawned on you that everything you've ever done is to no purpose? The more important question, but they're all three connected. Could I be wrong? Could have everything I purpose? The third one is harder. Is it possible I could miss heaven? I went on the vacation for my birthday. My son brought up the idea of going to Peru, to the Inca country, and doing crazy things. And he said he'd pay for it. How can you say no? I had no idea how easy it was. So easy walking in the mountains. Some of you have seen me cross a bridge. Amy, wherever she's at, decided to put that on Facebook. The worst day was the second day there. Second day there, my son, we went to a place and they said, this is an easy place. You just walk a little ways. So we took a bus up in, I still can't remember the name of the place. The colored mountain, Rainbow Mountain. There's what it's called in English. The hike started at 14,000 feet. Have you walked at 14,000 feet? Friends, you just turn, yeah, you have. You just walk out of, and you, it's the first thing that happens. And when you're my age, it's double. I made it to 15,000 something. I said, John, I love you. I hope you make it back, but I won't make it back. John went to 17,100 feet. You've probably been that high, have you not, in that general vicinity? How do you do up there? Not well. But it was a wonderful vacation until last Wednesday. On Monday of last week, John and the couple we were with, husband and wife, they went on the Inca Trail, which, by the way, do not do that unless you're insane. It's 4 days. You camp out 3 nights, 4 days, and I'm all alone, so I'm doing stuff. If you've seen me cross the rope bridge, which Amy put it on Facebook, which she got it from John, but anyhow, if you see that, I was on my own. Wednesday morning, I thought they were picking me up, but Tuesday, all day, I'm wondering, I don't have tickets. I don't know who I'm supposed to meet. I don't know what time I'm supposed to get up. And finally, Tuesday night, I get a call from a guy that spoke perfect English, memorized English. And he said 445 to me 15 times, like I didn't understand what 445 meant. So the next morning I get up, he's there, and I get up, I'm there at 4:30, he's there, and he hands me a packet with this in it. Because to get to Machu Picchu, this is what you have to do. I had to get in a car and drive about 2 hours. And once you got into the car, you got to a city, the city's name, and I love the name of the city, so I'm going to say it. Ayutthaya Tambo. Then you get there, and you have to have tickets. And there's just pages of stuff, and some of it's been torn off. And the first ticket you get gets you on a train. Now, understand, I haven't talked to my son or the couple that was with us because they're in the mountains with no cell reception. I'm going to meet them on Machu Picchu. They have no cell reception. I do. So I get on the train. The train's 2.5 hours. I get to Machu Picchu, the base, at 8:30 in the morning. I'm not lying. I'll let you see the tickets. And I didn't know about these tickets. I'm looking through these things. And the weird thing is they're not in order. So the first ticket I see is I have to leave Machu Picchu at 14:25. And I'm turning through this stuff, and some of it's backwards and upside down. And then I see this ticket. Is that the one? No. Here it is. Tim, can you see the numbers? Those big numbers? 1,300? Friends, I'm at Machu Picchu at the base at 8:30 in the morning, and I got a ticket for 1 o'clock. And it's going to allow me, by the way, the time I get to Machu Picchu, I will have 30 minutes. And who do you talk to? Who do you call? I didn't get the tickets. I'm at the base of Machu Picchu. Did I call you then? You say, are you panicking? I don't panic. I don't. What good would it do me to panic? But I'm thinking, you mean I've come to Peru and I'm not going to get to Machu Picchu? So I call a place in Lima that's the headquarters of this place, and there, that was really helpful. And then my son calls me. And when he calls me, I loved it. He says, Dad, are you doing okay? And I said, yes, except my ticket doesn't say 8:30 in the morning. It says 1 p.m. And they have just walked 4 days. They have come down through the Sun Gate down to Machu Picchu. And Dad says, we'll do it. Can I tell you something? I'm telling you this story for what reason? One day you're going to die. By the way, this isn't missing Machu Picchu. This is missing... This is not a joke. This is everything. So, friend, we're going to talk about the resurrection. But hear me. This ain't no joke. Was it scary? It isn't scary. It was irritating because I'm thinking, if John's phone didn't still have some battery after 4 days, guess what? I couldn't even have contacted him, which he contacted. He contacted the guide that was with, and they got it fixed. You say, what else happened? Friday night, we leave Cusco. 8:30 at night. We get there, 6 o'clock. They say, oh, by the way, the rules have changed. You have to have a COVID test. Where can we get a COVID test? Here. For a price. So we got our COVID test done. By the grace of God, we got on the plane. We flew to Lima. We get to Lima with these fresh, minted, printed copies of our negative COVID test. We're so happy. We're getting on the plane. We're in line. The plane is here. We're in line to go. And they look at the thing that we just received in Cusco. And by the way, it said not 4:15. It said 4:16. And they said, sorry, your COVID tests are for the wrong date. You almost got a call, buddy. I tell you both of those stories, friend, and now we be serious. Are you wrong about something? Do you know you have eternal life? Let's get past, for some of you, the Billy Baptist stuff. This isn't about your emotions. This is about facts. There's only one option. Now, I'm going to look at this text. We're going to look at this text. I'll look at it simply. Very simply, look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 13 with me, please. I'm going to say 4 very simple things about Easter, the day of the resurrection. Verse 13 says this, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 7 miles or so. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Skip down to verse 18. When Jesus comes up to them, and they don't know who he is, and he says, what are you talking about? They says, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And then they talk about real things. They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted, or we hoped, that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Please look at me. If we're going to talk about Easter, first rule you've got to do is get rid of religion and emotion. We are not talking about those things. We're talking about things that happened. First person to talk to me in America, as I said in Sunday school, when I got back was, what do you think about Will Smith? Now, First of all, I'm going to tell you what I think about Will Smith. I don't care. Any of it. Hollywood, really. But here's what I know. Look at me in the eyes. Something happened. Easter is not about religion. It's not about emotions. It's not about religious emotions. It's about a whole, how would I say it? It's a whole complex of things that happened. The person that these people had been following for 3 years, some of them, was suddenly arrested. He was condemned. There was a whole group of people, leadership in Israel, the coward Pilate, Pontius Pilate, Herod Antipas, which joined in because of other reasons, condemned Christ. Friends, he was beaten. These things happened. Easter is about, number one, what happened. Not only he was condemned and beaten, he was crucified. He died very quickly, actually, in that world. On the cross, of course, we would know he gave up his life. It wasn't taken from him. He was buried. And then all of a sudden, people that had known him went to what? To further the completion of his burial. And the tomb is open. And the tomb is empty. And all of a sudden, a few people here and there are saying, he's risen. We saw him. And here's these two disciples going, what? But friend, Easter is always about what happened. It's not religion. May I say this? You can look it up online. Young people will do this. Old people wouldn't know what online is. There's a great portrait from the 1500s. Who's the guy that, I don't remember, that did the Lord's Supper? What's the guy's name? Da Vinci. Beautiful. The best thing is not the table. The best thing is looking at the people. That's what's fascinating. There was another one done in the last 75 years. Salvador Dali. Salvador Dali is a real, well, he's a very perverted person. When he did a portrait of the Lord's Supper, I'll let you look it up. You know what you see? Jesus is like a ghost. You can see through him. Because this isn't real. This is your mama's religion, where everything is religious, but it doesn't mean anything. By the way, Christianity starts with what happened. And what happened was a man, God-man. Yes, he was arrested. Did he have to be? Of course not. John teaches us clearly. Just by speaking, everybody fell down. He didn't have to be arrested. He allowed himself to be arrested. Why? To fulfill the scripture. He was attempted to humiliate him, spit on him, mocked him, but that's not the issue. The physical part is never exaggerated in scripture. It's the fact that the Son of God was suffering for the sins of man. But the disciples, even though they had heard this, were like, what? What? They're confused. But look at me. This isn't about your emotions. This is about reality. Did these things happen? Yes, they did. And that tomb was empty. Yes, it was. And sooner or later, the Son of God started interacting with people. And it's like, Easter is always about what happened. Look at verse 36, would you please? It says, and as they spake, this is now back in Jerusalem. The two disciples have gone back to Jerusalem. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Romanian, I heard that word so much, pace. Verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted. And suppose that they had seen a spirit. Of course, friend, resurrections don't happen very often. I think there's been one. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, this is what I mean by what happened. He says, look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is myself. That it is myself. 1 John 1:1-3. You read it later. The apostles are people that not only heard him and saw him. They say, we touched him. We handled him. He said, touch me. He goes on to say, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. I mean, if you you feel bones, you feel flesh, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, they're still in the state of confusion, of course. He said unto them, have you any meat or any food? Not only am I real, but I could also eat. He says, they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Friends, I want to say this and move to point two. We believe. Look at me. We don't believe. We do not believe. The scripture does not teach in some place where you go to some spirit-filled little place, Harry Carey drinking a beer with Jesus. We don't go. That's not Christianity. Christianity is the resurrection of the body. You get a new body conformed to his body. Friend, our hope is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again, literally, physically, with a resurrected body, and one day we will have that too. I don't know why I think of certain things. I've been here a long time. You lose a lot of people you love. No one told me when I came here I'd be here 27 years, and no one told me this, that I'd see people I love very much die. But hear me. I talked to Susan. I think she's here. I remember when her dad died. I remember visiting Dad down in the hospital. He wasted away. I'd look at him in the bed. The last two times I saw him, he could barely breathe, dying. But listen, Easter is not religion. It's not even emotion. I get emotional about it for this reason. I'll see him again. Not too long. But he won't be looking like that, Susan. He will have a new body, like unto Christ's body, a body that the way God originally intended. So many people. Listen, if I die today, some of you would be happy. If I die today, listen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But that's not the final act, friend. The final act is to have the total package. Body, soul, and spirit reunited. That's our hope. Hear me. The resurrection was never about emotions, though there's lots of emotions in the story. It was never about religion. It was about what happened. And I want to say this to you. It either happened or it didn't. We're not playing games here. And every indication is it happened. It happened. Number two, let's look back. I want you to look at chapter 24, verse 44. 24, verse 44. I want you to look carefully at the first line. This is later when Jesus has appeared to his disciples, including the two. We don't know exactly how many are here, but a bunch. And notice what he says. This is Easter. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. What's the next line? While I was what? So Easter, what is it? Easter's about what happened. Number two, Easter's about what Jesus said would happen. It's about what Jesus said would happen. Is that shocking to you? So we'll just look at Luke for time. Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 31. Luke chapter 8, verse 31. So friends, whatever happened on Easter, and something actually happened, is what Jesus had been saying all along in his ministry. I'm not going to read all the text in Luke, and this is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but there's this repeated pattern of Jesus saying, now, folks, this is what's going to happen. Verse 31, please, of chapter 8. And they besought or begged him that he would not... Whoops, am I in the right space? Luke 8:31. I should be, but I'm not. You know what? Forgive me. Luke 9:22. Forgive me. Luke 9:22. I had also written the passages in Mark, so forgive me. I was looking at the wrong text. Luke 9:21, please. It says he straightly or immediately charged them, commanded them to tell no man this thing, who he was, verse 22, saying, the Son of Man. Folks, he told everybody what was going to happen. Must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes. That's the Jewish leadership, not necessarily the Jewish people. And be slain. And, what's it say? Be raised the third day. Folks, look at me in the eyes. Do you understand the resurrection, Easter, is what happened? But it's what happened that Jesus said. He said it was going to happen. Now, we have a problem. Why didn't they listen? Why didn't they understand? Cassie, did I not tell you this morning? You're going to go to Cusco. Every guidebook you ever see, first thing it tells you, go to Cusco for a week, don't do hardly anything. And how many people listen? Answer the question, how many people listen? None. Why? Because we know better. Folks, just because Jesus said something didn't mean that people listened. I've been teaching and preaching things for almost 3 decades in this church to have people not listen to anything I say about anything. They think they can make up Christianity as they go. People don't listen. The strange thing is, Jesus said this more than once. Let's continue. Look at chapter 9, verse 31. No, it's not. It's 9:44. I'm still reading the wrong text. 9:44, please. And this is the hard one here. 9:44. Let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. So here's Jesus again telling them, and for multitude of reasons, they're just not getting it. So here you got two guys. They're walking to Emmaus. Jesus appears. You say, why didn't they know who it was? And why didn't they get the whole picture? For the same reason, we just don't get stuff. Chapter 18, please. Chapter 18. Verse 31. 18 and verse 31. 18:31. Everyone look at me. Every guidebook you'll ever read says, do not go to Lima. You have to go through Lima, Peru. They say, go to Lima, fly to Cusco. Why? Cusco's almost 12,000 feet up. You spend 3 or 4 days there, you know this, you get somewhat acclimated. Then you start going to Machu Picchu and climbing, you know, half a mile up, which is actually lower than Cusco. And what do all white people do? I saw them on Machu Picchu. And they're doing this, and people are passing out. They have to bring doctors up there to haul people out of there. Why? We don't listen. We don't listen about anything. Friends, look at me. Easter, this is Easter. Easter is about what happened. It's about what Jesus repeatedly said was going to happen. Why didn't they get it? Same reason we don't get it. All right, let's look. Verse 31. Then he took them, the 12, and said to them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things, and we'll touch on this the next point, that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. My goodness, it's hard to read that in one sense, the Son of God. And it says, and they shall scourge him, or beat him, whip him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. We're not talking about a ghost. We're talking about a literal physical resurrection with an eternal body. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they these things which were spoken. Wow. Turn back to Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. Everything will be in Luke 24 now. I want everyone to look at me once you get there. Friends, I love young people. They don't always love me. It is so interesting to take 11th or 12th grader and try to talk to them about life. Why? They already know more than you know. No matter what you say to them, they know more. It is the biggest struggle of my life, look at me, friends, some of your kids are included, looking at kids that I love, trying to convince them how you move forward in life. And if it's hard for me to just talk about college or the trades, here's the Son of God talking to people. He talks to you. I listen to people. I'm going to be happy. You know, I've been preaching on that for 27 years. People are just oblivious to it. Friends, the resurrection. I'm going to ask you a question. How many resurrections have you seen? None. Yeah, Jesus talked about it over and over and over. Man, when it happened, the people are just confused. You say, some people will say, were they saved? I think they were, but they didn't get all the pieces of the puzzle. They were confused. There's a third piece we're going to look at briefly. We could spend all day just with this. I think Dr. Saxon dealt with some elements with this in a different way. Look at Luke 24, 25, please. 24, 25. So Jesus takes those two disciples, and what does he tell them? Well, this is all mystery. I'm revealing to you secrets. No. He's saying all I'm doing is I'm telling you what's going to happen, and it's going to happen. But really, what's more important is what the whole Bible said was going to happen. 25. Or Luke 24, 25. If I can get to the right spot. It says, then he said unto them, O fools, again, not the word for moron, just someone that's ignorant, doesn't know. O person who don't, you men that don't understand it, you're slow of heart. You know, the center of your being is having a difficult time accepting this. To prophets, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning where? Moses, meaning Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, which is one way of looking at the Old Testament that we have, the 39 books, law and the rest. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Same chapter, verse 44. You say, Pastor, what are you pointing at? Folks, Easter is what happened. Let me ask you a question. Have you lost people you love? Let me ask you, and this is the harder question. Did they know the Lord? If they know the Lord, Easter's kind of important. Because our only hope is Jesus Christ and him alone. But it's not the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not an idol. It's not, forgive me, it's not Mary carrying a little baby. Because that isn't going to help you. It is the Son of God who, we call it active obedience, who came to earth, lived a sinless life, actively obeyed the law, and actively lived a sinless life, who then gave himself his passive obedience on the cross. He suffered passively too, but he chose to. Suffered on the cross and rose again. Well, that's what happened. It's what Jesus said would happen. Thirdly, this is what the Old Testament prophesied would happen. So from beginning to end of the Old Testament, it's the same. From Genesis 3:15, the seed of a woman, to Genesis 12, the seed of Abraham, to Genesis 49, of the tribe of Judah, to 2 Samuel 7, of the family of David. Just the whole Old Testament starts focusing in on someone that's going to come and is going to die and redeem us from our sins. It's the whole Bible, verse 44. It says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, first five books, and in the prophets. This is a way of Jewish division of the Old Testament. Ours is done topically. We have the law, we have history, we have poetry, then we have prophecy. But it's the same exact same books, just divided in a different format. The law of Moses, the Torah, the Nevi'im, which are the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which are the writings. And Psalms is the first book in there. So he says all these things must be fulfilled. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Friend, it had to be what the Son, the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer. And to rise from the dead the third day. And what are we going to preach? We're going to preach his death, burial, and resurrection. And that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name, meaning in who he was and what he did. He is the Son of God who gave himself. Through simple faith and repentance, we find remission or forgiveness of sins. Yes. He goes on to say, they were to start this in Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. So I have said this morning three simple statements. Easter is what happened. Easter is what Jesus said would happen. Easter is what the Old Testament prophesied would happen. Friends, we could spend days just talking about prophecies. I want to say this to you. Maybe you haven't been there. And I want to say, I'd say this kindly. Maybe you just don't have an intellect like me. Some folks, nothing really bothers them. They just kind of grew up on what their mom and daddy did, and that's fine. And by the way, I'm okay with you. But there's some people in this room, you do realize everything depends on this. This is not a joke. And maybe you'll get in a place where all of a sudden your belief system will be questioned. And then all of a sudden it's not being questioned by somebody else. You're questioning your own belief system. You say, Pastor, how are you so sure? It's not because I'm special. I think it's what you have here. These are not religious things. A real man died. A real man was buried. A real man rose again. Why? All the evidence, it's what happened. Friends, I can show you in Roman history from Tacitus and from Suetonius. I can show you from Pliny the Younger, if you care to look, that talk about these events from the Roman perspective. They're what happened. They happened under Tiberius Caesar. They happened under Pontius Pilate. But it's simply what Jesus said was going to happen and what the whole Old Testament prophesied was going to happen. I got one other idea. And yes, I believe this. And yes, I believe this to my very bones. Just because you've heard this means nothing. Something else has to happen that only God can do. I'm going to read you my point. Only God can enable you to understand what happened on Easter. Look at Luke 24:31, please. 24:31. The word is found about eight times in the New Testament, three times here and one time in Acts, which is the same. Luke 24:31, please. You see, something has to happen that only God can do. It says their eyes were opened. They didn't open their eyes. Their eyes passively were opened by God. And they knew him. Verse 32. So one thing we know has to happen that only God can do, he has to open your eyes to understand the significance of what we're talking about. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he what? Opened to us the scripture. My friend, please look at me. I could talk to you for years. Salvation is not of me, it's not of you. It's not of anyone. God must do. Salvation, I think we call it the new birth. We call it a miracle. God must do something. And in this case, God opened their eyes. He opened their understanding or the scriptures. Luke 24, please. Verse 45. There's a third use of dianoigo in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Now, I want you to turn to Acts, please, chapter 16 and verse 14. Acts 16, verse 14. This is later. This is the Apostle Paul. So please look up here. Here's my problem. I do not have the ability to save you. I have the ability to speak, teach, communicate. You say, well, Pastor, I have the ability. And I say to you, good luck on that one. Here's the bottom line, friend. I still remember, I talked about her in Sunday school, Nancy Dowdle. I witnessed to a woman, this was in the early 80s, that I worked in the laboratory in the hospital. And I remember she was working microbiology, and I went back and talked to her, for probably 6 months. One night I went back to microbiology. I still remember the night, the little piece. I had to take a specimen back. She was doing microbiology. I handed her the specimen. We started talking about the gospel, and this is what she said to me. She said to me, you know, this is starting to make sense. Well, friend, that's called God opening your eyes to the scripture. You can hear about Christianity. You know, you can see movies, you can see crosses, you can see people beating Jesus. But what does all this mean? Well, I know what it means. The Son of God came to earth. You know, the just, one man was crucified, the just for the unjust. I mean, but putting this together and coming to with your sin, God has to open your eyes. One last reference. 16:14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. And I'm assuming everyone knows purple was not a naturally occurring color. It came from a very small little creature found in the country of modern-day Lebanon. They literally have mountains of the remnants of the shells. To be a seller of purple meant you were an exceptionally wealthy person, because before the modern dyes, only by royalty, comes from one place. This woman was wealthy. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. Doesn't mean she was a believer. She was somehow connected to Israel, somehow connected to Judaism. It says this, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She got the gospel. She understood the message. She understood and was saved. And the next verse says, and when she was baptized, the normal process after getting the message is to follow the Lord physically. We have a baptistry here. This baptistry just gets you wet. But if you're a saved person, this baptistry is a testimony of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and our faith in Christ, and us identifying externally with Christ. Friends, please look at me. Easter. Here's what I think is funny. There are people, some of you have children, that are as unsaved as they can possibly be. They prayed some prayer, but it doesn't mean anything, just religion. You say, why? Because if you get what I'm saying, if God opens your heart and eyes, you ain't going back. All of a sudden, I had a man in my church in St. Louis that said this to me literally. I'd never preached on this before. He said, Pastor, while you were and this guy swore on a stack of Bibles this high he was saved. I went to his house to witness to him, or to talk to he and his wife, and first thing he did was, I'm a Christian already. I went to a Baptist church. His wife knew he wasn't saved. His wife got saved. She says, Pastor, I'm not getting baptized until he gets saved. He said during a church service, he says, it was like someone turned the lights on. I want to say this to you and I'm done. Do you know what Easter is? Easter is what happened. Easter is what Jesus said would happen. It's what the Old Testament prophesied would happen. But you can only understand Easter by God doing a work in your heart. And friend, don't run from it, run to it. Because there's nothing like, wow, we know. We know him. We understand he died for us, for me. And he rose again. And now I have hope. Only God can do that. Let us pray. Father, undoubtedly there are people here that they have attached to a little of religion here, there, or yon. But Lord, religion won't go too far. And it's a scary enough thing thinking, I flew to Peru to go to Machu Picchu and I'm not going to get to go. That would be one thing. How much worse would it be to get to the end of life thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven, I'm a good person, and not knowing that Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Son of God died for all kinds of people in every country, language, tribal group. We can proclaim this message forever to every person. And Father, this morning I ask, open hearts, minds, Scripture. This is the truth. Help, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please.